for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run, or is it? Oh, well fielded. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great effort. That's unbelievable. That is sensational.
Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.
Hey, welcome to Short, Fine Legs, South Africa's premium cricket podcast, which is now proudly brought to you by Orcor, Africa's favourite auctioneers. Orcor are the biggest hitters in online and live auctions, featuring the best brands in luxury and budget vehicles and trucks, as well as furniture, appliances and gadgets for your home and office. The Orcor team are also the biggest cricket fans out there, so naturally we're quite big fans of them too. Visit their website, www.orcor.com, or follow them on social media so you're kept up to date with their latest auctions. Hey, welcome to Short Fine Legs, the cricket podcast that is as inconsistent as David Miller at the death. But oh man, when it's hot, whew, it's flaming hot. And that's a great place to start because South Africa are alive in this World Cup thanks to a batter who is perhaps the most polarizing in the game. A guy who, let's be real here, is arguably the most destructive hitter in South Africa's history. And yes, I include Lance Klusener, don't at me. But who is so erratic that if you were to set your watch to Miller time, you'd get fired from your job, lose your relationship, and see all your friends never want to talk to you ever again for being so flaky. But never mind that, his two sixes in the final over helped drag the Proteas over the line to beat Sri Lanka by 4 wickets with a ball to spare on the weekend. That means that they have their destiny in their own hands, beat Bangladesh on Tuesday and avoid getting trounced by England, and they may just sneak into the semi-finals, which, frankly, I think will take a lot of people by surprise. And I know what you're going to say, but Mr. Gallen, it was only Sri Lanka. Firstly, please call me Dan. We're all friends here. And secondly, this is exactly the sort of game that South Africa have lost in World Cups before, by clawing their way back into a contest that they had in the bag and then looked like messing up spectacularly, shows that perhaps, and whispered quietly, this is a team not burdened by the catastrophic blow-ups of the past. Of course, they might go on and bottle it against Bangladesh or in a future game where victory looks a certainty. But the fact that they rescued this one, and the fact that it was done in a very un-South African way, i.e. with the bat, tells me that maybe, just maybe, a page has been turned. Now, of course, as I alluded to, they only got there because of the bowling, and I'd like to unpack a bit of the key players, in fact, all of the bowlers, who have emerged in this tournament and have contributed to an outfit that, genuinely, I think could be regarded as the best in the competition. Now, a few other countries would argue against that, of course, and really the bowling in general has just been excellent. You know, maybe the best all-round bowling performance in any World Cup, in any T20 World Cup that is so far. But I just love the balance of the team. And I would encourage you to put another group ahead of them. Going in the order that they bowled in the match against Sri Lanka, let's start with Aidan Markram, and I really like the way he's been opening. I wonder if he'll do it against a team like England and their monsters at the top of the order. But his 2 overs for 8 runs set the tone against Sri Lanka. He's not a loopy spinner, not a great big turn of the ball. And I don't think he's a bowler who I'd want bowling with the older ball. But I love how he bowls into the pitch. As in, he's not looking to beat the bat in the air. He's not looking to get one past him. He's looking to just bowl into the pitch, almost like he's effectively a slow, medium-paced bowler who bowls with his fingers. I mean, does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not looking to spin the ball. He's looking to bowl into the pitch, take the pace off the ball, and make new opening batters who are used to the ball coming onto them muscle the ball over the boundary. And he offers an extra dimension, and I applaud both Themba Bavuma and criticize him for not giving Markram an extra over against Sri Lanka. I applaud the captain, as most skippers would have been tempted to hand him one more over after such a miserly return. But then again, I criticize him and wonder why he wouldn't want to eke out an extra over. I mean, either way you look at it, Markram is a handy option to have at the top. And just what a fantastic cricketer. I mean, it's been said so many times on this podcast and basically everywhere else talking about Aidan Markram, but he bats, he bowls, he fields, just a sensational cricketer. And he's really buffed up. He's almost taken a leaf out of the Faf du Plessis book and, you know, the Virat Kohli book and figured out, look, I got to get some guns if I'm going to be a T20 gun. And he absolutely is at the minute. And, you know, may he continue to go from strength to strength. Then, of course, there's the pace duo of Kagiso Rabada, now a verified all-rounder after his 13 of 7 to help win the game against Sri Lanka. But quite different bowlers. Notice how Rabada bowls more slower balls, cutters, varies his length to the tail, and how Norkia just looks to beat them with pace. Nice and full, hit the stumps, you miss, I hit. I'd like to see Norkia, though, vary his length a little bit more. Not necessarily to the tail enders, but to the top order batters. I know the pitches are sluggish and it's hard to really dig one in deep and knock a batter on the head. But we've seen a distinct lack of bounces, again as a result of the pitches. But I'd like to point to the way Chimera got Quinton de Kock out in the run chase on Saturday. He effectively bounced him out, forced Quinton into a pull shot that he should have been playing and got him caught and bowled. So clearly it is possible to get one to lift, and I'd like to see the South African quick show a little aggression here. Yes, against Bangladesh, but particularly against England's openers. This could be a vital tool in unpicking the likes of Butler and Bairstow and the rest of their power hitters. You know, players who look to dominate, get on the front foot, whack it back over the bowler's head, through cover, through the leg side. I wouldn't be surprised if this is how the Proteas bowlers get these guys out. Save this tweet, as they say. Then we're on to the spin twins of Tabraiz Shamsi and Keshav Maharaj. I mean, what can I say about Tabraiz? He's 3 for 17 from 4 overs meant he was a deserving player of the match. Jared Kimber has delivered an excellent analysis of Shamsi and the art of left-arm wrist spin bowling, and I'd recommend you watch that on his channels. What Jared told me that I didn't know was that Tabraiz has bowled almost 45.6% of all left-arm wrist spin delivered in T20 internationals in the last 5 years. I'll say that again. He has delivered 45.6% of all left-arm wrist spin delivered in T20 internationals in the last 5 years. I mean, to say that he's important to South African cricket is one thing, but there's an argument to be made that he is important to international cricket, let alone the Proteas. Essentially, he's almost single-handedly keeping the art alive. He's a bowler who turns the ball both ways. He's aggressive in the flight. He's aggressive in the lines he bowls. You know, he pushes batters out wide, he tucks them in when they're looking for room. And I just love his attitude, which is kind of that of a snarling fast bowler. You know, he's chubby, he's got outrageous celebrations, but make no mistake, this guy is an apex predator. He wants your wicket, he wants to dominate, he wants to get inside your mind and have a fiddle around with your brain furniture, rub his boots on the carpet and leave with your favorite piece of memorabilia. He's deserving of his status as the number one T20 bowler in the world, and having taken more wickets in the last 12 months than anyone else with 36 at an average of just under 15 and an economy of just over 6. I mean, he's a gem. He's a gun. What more can we say? There's less certainty around Keshav Maharaj, who bowled okay against Sri Lanka, but the way their batters went after him from the get-go was concerning. He finished his 4 overs, conceding 34 runs, not the most expensive, but still went for 8.5 in a low-scoring game, and that should raise a red flag. The makeup of the side means that Maharaj has to bowl at least 3 overs. If he is knocked out of the attack after just 1 or 2, which is a distinct possibility, then that leaves SA scrambling a little. There's Pretorius, and we'll get onto him in a second, but I do worry about Keshav if those English bullies get a sniff of blood. He's a pretty conventional fingerspin bowler, and he's miserly, don't get me wrong, he's miserly. He knows how to hold up an end. But does he have enough tricks if plan A doesn't go according to plan, really? I don't know. I think my hunch is that the answer is no, actually, that he doesn't. And that will be a concern because Bavuma will want him to get through his overs without conceding too many runs. And I think the opposition battle will know this. Finally, of course, we have Dwayne Pretorius, A player who flew so far under the radar that he's effectively tunneled his way to the UAE to participate. When the plan emerged that he would be bowling at the death, I wasn't overly confident. But whew, look at him go. I mean, he's a lanky dude who bowls from an uncomfortable height. Something that is a telling difference on these slow decks, because he gets the ball to climb a little bit, which makes it harder for the batter to meet the ball at the apex of their swing. So the ball's often hitting the top half of their bat. It also means that batters can't get all the way forward to him, which means they have to vary where they stand in their crease, either a little bit more forward or a little bit further back. And throwing his crafty slower balls and his cutters, and it's no real surprise he finished with 3 for 17 from his 3 overs. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't get his full quota against Bangladesh. Now onto the batters, and it's been pointed out that beyond Quinton de Kock at the top, there are too many batters in the top order who are a bit too similar. Reeza Hendricks, Rassie van der Dussen, Themba Bavuma and Aidan Markram aren't exactly six machines, are they? They're more accumulators who look to keep the scoreboard ticking over with the occasional boundary put away from a bad ball. Rassie and Aidan are perhaps a bit more powerful, they pack a bit more punch than Themba. And Reeza is very good against the new ball and has to open if he plays. But I still stick with the idea that they are very similar players. And I hear the argument that that is a concern, but they're not playing at the Wanderers. You know, they're not playing at the Wacker. They're not playing at the Oval. And I know that Joss Butler put on the fireworks against Australia with some phenomenal ball striking. But look around the rest of the tournament. Accumulators and nudgers and nerdlers are winning games on these pitches, and I'm actually okay with the balance at the side. You know, give Quinton free range at the top, allow Miller to come in and bludgeon things at the death, and give license to one of the middle order players to accelerate when needed, depending on how they go. But frankly, this game against Sri Lanka was won in part by Themba Bavuma's 46 balls, hitting only 1-4 and 1-6 in the process. You know, looking on Twitter and social media, the captain copped a lot of grief for not charging through the gears, but he held it together when things looked like they were going to fall apart. Yes, he was at fault for Van der Dussen's run out, and there were moments when it looked like he was batting with a wet fish, but he kept it tidy, he kept it neat, and he kept the scoreboard moving. And frankly, I'd like to see more of the same, please, Skipper. You don't change a thing, let everyone batter around you. And I would actually like to see him just remain unflustered. Like I said, there was a period where it looked like he was just trying to overhit the ball. And Natalie Germanis on comms, who is sensational, by the way. Shout out to Natalie, who's been a guest of the show. She pointed out that he was trying to play a game that wasn't his. Themba, stay in your lane, bud, because that lane is perfect. And once he settled into that rhythm, he got the scoreboard ticking over. And he reached 46 before he went out. And like I say, the game was in part won because of that innings. And while we're here, let's talk a little bit about Themba as a captain. And he was handed a grenade when Quinton de Kock refused to kneel in solidarity with his teammates as an anti-racist gesture. And if you want my opinion on the matter, I've written several articles and I think my position is clear, but just in case it isn't, I think Quinton absolutely should have taken the knee. I think showing solidarity with the Global Black Lives Matter campaign is a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. I don't like that Cricket South Africa issued this directive, but now that they have and everyone's on the same page, I'm keen for the matter to move forward. And I do applaud Quinton for... I'd like to take him at his word and believe that his U-turn was sincere. We are allowed to make mistakes. We're allowed to change our mind. And like I said, I'd like to believe that Quinton hasn't been coerced into this, that he's received the backlash, and he's listened to his teammates and the public, and he's made the right decision. You know, like he said in his press release, he's often been accused of being dwarf and ignorant, and having spoken to him a few times and written a long read with him for the Cricket Monthly, you know, just a little plug there, I don't think he is dwarf. I don't think he is ignorant. I don't think he's book smart. I don't think he's educated. But he's not a moron, and I think he received the criticism and the feedback, and he took it on board, and he's moved forward. So credit to Quinton, and credit to Cricket South Africa for handling a very difficult situation. But credit most of all to Temba Bavuma. The way he handled the fiasco with grace and with poise and with composure, I mean, that is leadership. He was assertive in his view and clear in his message. There was no ambiguity, and I believe that he has that dressing room now in the palm of his hands. The scenes of celebrations after the win against Sri Lanka was indicative of that. His relationship with coach Mark Boucher is something I'm curious about. I'd love to be on a fly on the wall during their private conversations. You know, I'd love to know who does the bulk of the talking and what tone the chat is conducted in. I'm not insinuating anything, but it doesn't seem like they're natural fit personality-wise. However, this is Bavuma's team once they cross the boundary. And not only is he an anchor in the middle order, he has field placings, as was seen against the West Indies, with a player stationed right behind the bowler's arm. And his bowling changes shows that he has an astute cricket brain. And it's no surprise, of course, you know, he's led the Lions to a series of triumphs before. But this is obviously another level. And even if they don't emerge with an unlikely trophy, which I don't believe that they will, you know, anyone other than England and perhaps Pakistan would constitute a major upset. I think after all is said and done, I feel that Bavuma deserves our respect now. You know, he deserves our faith. And not only is he the right man for the job on the field, but I now believe that unquestionably he's the right man for the job off the field as well. But of course, attention will turn to Bangladesh now. It's a must-win game, obviously. The Tigers haven't looked in great touch. They've never beaten South Africa in a T20 international. They're the only team in the group without a win. But they are battle-hardened, haven't come through the initial group phase. They ran Sri Lanka close-ish. But they've perhaps been the most disappointing side in the Super 12, not including India, because no one outside of India is disappointed when Virat Kohli's team struggle. And the reason being is that outside of their own patch in Bangladesh, this was perhaps a tournament tailor-made for them. It's a slow and low-scoring competition so far, and that is what they do best. They strangle you with their spin, they eat away at your score with flicks and paddles and hard run twos. You know, cast your mind back to the 2019 World Cup in England, where South Africa lost to Bangladesh in exactly the manner that I'm talking about. But instead they've been drab, and they've never really threatened to beat anyone or post a serious challenge. They could still well beat South Africa and Australia, but on current form that looks unlikely. Leighton Duss, the keeper, and Mamadoula, the skipper, batted well against the West Indies, but their bowling has been rather toothless. You get it? Because Tigers have teeth. Clever, hey? Journalism. South Africa last played Bangladesh in a T20 back in October 2017. The Proteas won that by 83 runs, having scored 224 at Potchefstroom. And a certain David Miller hammered 101 unbeaten runs from 36 balls, reaching three figures in 35 balls, which remains a world record. Now, history does not repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And now that Miller has put his stamp on the tournament, perhaps it's time to dream, to wonder, if that small inkling of hope that all Proteas fans feel at the start of every tournament might finally materialize into something tangible for once in our lives. It's not likely, but you never know. That's our show, guys. Thank you so much. We'll be releasing something before the England match on Saturday, so that means that I will be putting something out this week. Do stay tuned. Share the love for Short Fine Legs on Twitter at short_fine_legs. Let me know if you've got any questions at Daniel Gallen. And give some love for our sponsors, Orcor, who are great supporters of South African cricket and this podcast. We'll catch you later in the week. Bye.
Shout for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run. Or is it? Oh, well fielded. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great hit. That's unbelievable. That is sensational.
Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.